another glass of Jubal over here, if you don't mind, with a Freon back? Man, it's hot.
Oi, will this heat never end? See, it's funny, because just a couple of weeks ago, I was complaining about it being too cold, and now that it's been hot for a couple of days, I'm complaining about that. That's why it's funny. Human beings, we're never happy about anything. So I never really quite believed the conception of heaven that we were taught in Sunday school. They weren't very specific, but we all had the vague idea that you'd be up there in a cloud with a harp and wings and a halo. Okay. Well, presumably there'll be some on-the-job training. Unless, of course, you can just play the harp in heaven. It's you know, pick it up and, you know, it's like a tonette. You just all of a sudden start strumming the hit tunes of the day. But do you have to keep your halo polished? Do you have to groom your feathers? Why a robe? Why are you sitting on a cloud? What do you do? Even then I knew that people would sit for that for about a day and a half. And at that point, the idea that this is eternity would strike you as a definite disadvantage. Like, well, let me get this straight. I gotta sit here forever. I mean, literally, forever, with no end in sight, on a cloud, in a robe, presumably without any underwear, with a glowing circle over my head and a harp in my hand and wings. Okay. Can we change the deal at all? Shorts, maybe? Lederhosen for just some kicks and grins? Can I play another instrument? It's heaven. I mean, can I have a piano? And don't tell me it would fall right through the cloud, because I wouldn't buy that for a second. So I think people would become dissatisfied with heaven pretty quickly. Of course, I'm absolute proof of that. Here I am in the most heavenly part of the year, June, when it's warm, and I'm complaining. Why? Because the air conditioning broke down at the diner again. Hi, folks, and welcome to the diner, the steamy, sultry, smoldering diner, the Lauren Bacall of diners. And my name is James Lilacs. I'm sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern formica counter, the old diner out on old Highway 23, but it's 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. It's so hot. What? I'm sorry? How hot is it, you ask? Well, why would you do that? Because it's a cliche, that's why. If I say it's so hot, it then stands to reason I'm going to tell you how hot it is, isn't it? If I were to say it's hot, that would be a simple statement of fact, and there would be no indication that would indicate elaboration was forthcoming. But if I say it's so hot that, sometimes the that being implied, of course, and you automatically say, how hot is it? You're participating in something that is known as phantom limb humor. Just as a person who's had his leg amputated will feel pain in the limb that no longer exists, so people will find amusement, risibility, in things that have ceased to be funny for 30 years. And in this case, they're simply parroting back an old Johnny Carson sketch. Johnny Carson, bless his heart, would get out on stage and say, it's so hot today. Well, that's when he was doing Art Fern. He would say it was so hot, and the audience would say, how hot is it? And he would mimic an expression of surprise. And after decades of this, showed what a trooper he was. And then he would give you the joke, which was never sufficient to merit the incredibly elaborate punchline. Or setup, rather. I'm sorry. I'm wandering. My brain is a stew. It's just vapors up there. It's so poundingly hot. Lordy massy me, it's hot, as my mother used to say. Apparently, my mother was Hattie McDaniels. I have no idea why my mother used to say that. Lordy, loudy, actually, probably, if you want to be technical about it, loudy, massy, me. A lot of people up there in North Dakota said that. Loudy, massy, me. And I probably think that that's some sort of African-American slang. Loudy being, of course, Lord, Lordy. And massy, I have no idea. Master, perhaps. Lord, master over me, it's hot. I don't know why it's necessary to invoke the omnipotence of the deity when expressing a simple meteorological condition, but there you had it. We were simple folk. Lordy massy me. We didn't get an air conditioner in our house until about 1972 or so, which means that I remember many torpid days of just sitting. We, you know, a fan. The only thing we had were two kinds of fans. And one of them was hooked up to a goat. No. We had two kinds of fans. They were modern. One of them was very streamlined. And it had that open front with the spinning metal blades. And there's not a kid alive who didn't want to put his finger into that thing. As a matter of fact, they seem to realize this and go out of their way to make the aperture in the fan grill large enough for a small child to put his entire fist in there. And I'm just... I see these things to this day in antique stores, and I look at them and I wonder, well, when they released this model to the investors and they brought it out and said this is what we're going to be building, and somebody said, well, that's great. How those spinning, sharp-edged metal blades, how fast are they going? Well, they're going about 70 revolutions per minute, per second, actually. That'll mince a brick if you put it in there. Yes, that was our worry. Might we not want them to enclose it so people don't put anything in it? Why would they put anything in it? It's spinning. It'd hurt. Yes, but people will. I mean, apparently they decided against putting a grill on, but people will, and people did, I'm sure. I mean, if the Blarney Stone, for example, was hooked up to a gigantic electrical generator with a Jacob's ladder and sparks coming off the thing, people would still wander up and kiss it. Anyway, so we had one of those things, and I lived in fear of it, because like all small fans like that, it seemed vaguely sentient. It seemed to be constantly scanning the room to look for something, going back and forth and back and forth. It was like the East German border guard of air circulation devices. And the other, of course, was a big box fan. Oh, the big box fan. You got them at where? The Big Box Fan Store? No, you got them at the hardware store, which for some reason was your fan central. And there they would be on the first hot day. You'd go down there and get one. Dad would drive down to the hardware store, and the box fans would be sitting there. And they'd have pieces of confetti that had been tied that would be fluttering out in case you were so stupid that you didn't understand exactly what this thing was. As though you would stand in front of it and feel the cooling breeze on your legs and say, how does this work? This is magic. So they had to put the little pieces of paper there to indicate the physical properties at work. Whatever. So those were the things that we had. And what do you do, of course, when you have no air conditioning and you're 10 years old, it's a hot day in the summer? You sit on the floor in front of the fan and try to read a comic book, which is pretty difficult because the fan is moving the paper all around. That's something kids today, they have no idea what it's like. Why, with our internet and the like? You would sit down and read the newspaper, I remember, and if the fan was on, you'd constantly be chasing the pages all over the room. You'd have to hold them down. You'd have to get heavy-weighted objects. And again, I'm sure that there was a... They probably sold heavy-weighted newspaper objects for just that purpose. Oh, somebody always finds a little niche there and exploits it, don't they? They probably had fan stones that you would put on your paper to make it easy to read and be cooled at the same time. Ah, what a world in which we live. Mom, where are the fan stones? I'm going to read the paper. Well, as I said, it's just a hot day. Just a hot day, and the air conditioning broke. Air conditioning frequently breaks here at the diner, and I'm not exactly sure why. It may have something to do with the fact that the equipment is probably about 70 years old. A very, very early model. I'm not even sure there's Freon in that thing. It's probably the sort of air conditioning that they had in the old movie theaters. That always fascinates me when I see an ad that says air conditioned and it's 1922. Like, did they have air conditioning as we know now? No, they didn't. Even before, you can find it in 1910, 1915, air cooled. What did they have? Well, they had big blowers and they had gigantic bricks of ice that they would push the air over, and that would cool people. And people would still go into the theater wearing, of course, all the items of clothing that people were required to wear in the early part of the 20th century, which is their summer wool underwear, their summer wool socks, and their summer wool suits, and their hats. It's impossible to imagine how uncomfortable and stinky life must have been when you would go into a theater and everybody would be wearing 7 layers of clothing, and it was 95 degrees outside and 96 degrees inside, and you're waiting for somebody to push out of a vent some air that has been drifted across a straw-encrusted block of ice. Oh, that was pleasure. But then after that, you get out of the theater, and the The breeze would come from the river, carrying with it the stench of the tanning factories and the mills and the dead animals that had washed downstream. And you take a big lungful of horse ordure and slap away a buzzing fly at your neck that was the size of a fan stone. And then what would you do? You'd go somewhere in your head. You'd have a whorehound whip or something, or some vaguely tepid drink that would cool you off somewhat. Oh, man, the miseries of summer that must have been. And we complain. I'm sitting here in a nice shaded place. Well, I'll tell you this much. Maybe it's just there's so much chrome around here, so much chrome and bent metal, that it actually reduces the ambient temperature in the diner to 10 degrees, which would bring us down to 96 now. Because you can lean up against some of these things and they're cool. Like, for example, there's a big, huge milk dispenser. Well, all classic diners have these. There's silver, some of them have that quilted aluminum on the front, and they have these gigantic knobs. They're just huge. They're like the size they're like metallic cow testicles that have been finely sanded into aerodynamic shapes. Not that they're necessarily aerodynamic themselves to begin with, but you know what I mean. No, you don't. Why would I assume that you do? And these things are they're heavily weighted, because that's the whole purpose. That's how the diner restaurant milk machine operates strictly in the principle of gravity. You don't know this? Let me school you, as they say. I hate locutions like that. Although I was watching an Alfred Hitchcock show from 1962, and somebody referred to an old movie actor from the 20s as being really old school. I'm not kidding you. 1962, and somebody used the phrase really old school. Stunning, isn't it? I can only think that whoever brought that particular phrase back into the language must have been a Hitchcock fan like myself. I digress. Well, I'll save that story for just a second here, because I'm really behind on playing some music, aren't I? I really am. I wonder if the records... I wonder if they've melted. What would happen if they melt? You know, you wouldn't hear anything, would you? The needle would just become mired in the groove. In a Sargasso sea of formerly delectable ear treats. Well, I don't know what the guy stocked it with, so let's just start at the top and go to A1. My God, it's the Godfather, and he's drunk. The Jewish Godfather. Hi-ya, hi-ya, hi-ya. Well, now the drunken Jewish Godfather is getting sad. Nope. I have no idea what she's talking about. Chalk that up as another vocal style for which I have zero affinity. I almost feel bad sometimes when I encounter music of other cultures and I just don't like it. I feel like somewhere David Byrne is very disappointed in me. Maybe even Paul Simon, too. You know, actually, I should lean over intently, I should cup an ear, and I should be fascinated by the rhythms and the idiosyncrasies of other cultures' musical expressions. Sometimes I just don't care. I listen to it and I say, well, no. Next, please. Thank you very much. It may be Wiggly Voices. Never had a lot to say on behalf of Wiggly Voices. If it's any consolation, there are most forms of opera I can't stand either. So Japanese pop music from the 30s, if that's what that was, and opera. No, sir. Don't like them. No use for them. Silly stuff. Anyway, let's see what else. Oh, you were wondering, no doubt, about the gravity-driven mechanism behind the milk dispenser. Well, it's very simple, actually. In diners and restaurants, they had these big milk dispensers, and you would open up the aluminum door, and inside you would find two plastic crates. And in each plastic crate would be a giant bladder of milk. And at the bottom of the bladder would be a nozzle. Much like the thing from which the milk came. It was one of the few instances in which the delivery mechanism actually aped the creation mechanism. You had your bladder what thing there and your udder type deal. So you would, the difference, of course, is that when a farmer goes to milk the cow, he doesn't take a shear and cut the tip of the udder off. Oh, it would be easy. It would be very simple. You wouldn't have to have all that, squeezing motion in there. And I can't tell you how many people I know in the farming American community who've got hand braces on from, when they were young kids and had to squeeze. You want to talk about your repetitive stress injuries? Jeez. So, yeah, many a kid just wished, I wish it just, and sit back and have a smoke and read snappy stories while Bossy bleeds out. But no, Dad would have something to say about that. Anyway, so you would cut it. But you're asking, well, wait a minute here, man. If you've just cut off the bottom of the nozzle, gravity, as I understand it, is going to pull that milk out of the big bag all over the floor and stuff. And you're right. So what did they do? Well, they got a mop. But then eventually they figured out that if you put a large weighted device over that hose, that the weighted device, the weight of it, would keep the nozzle crimped. It would keep it closed. It would cinch it and crimp it so that no milk ever got out. Well, a drip or two here and there. So that's how it worked. There was no pumping mechanism. There was no nothing to break, really. There was just this gigantic bladder there, and you used gravity or the large weighted silver streamlined testicle shaped thing to hold it shut, which meant that when you went to a restaurant and the power was out and they couldn't fix you anything, they could always get you a glass of milk. Now the problem was, of course, with those plastic boxes was that whoever designed them really did not think things through, because when we were done with the milk, in other words, when the milk ran out, we took the plastic crate out. And then we took it out back and left it stacked outside the restaurant where it would be stolen that evening, minutes after we put it there, by kids who needed it for their dorm rooms. Because if there were two things that people furnished their dorm rooms with in those days, it was cement blocks and plastic milk crates. That was it. And maybe you'd have a board that you got somewhere that you would place across the blocks or the plastic crates. And if you were really into home decorating, you're one of those guys who went for the board thing. You're probably one of those, you know what I mean. Kind of guy who listens to George Benson. So they disappeared. It never occurred to the guys when they were designing the plastic boxes that that they were exactly the perfect shape for an album, for a 12-inch, for a 33 and a third RPM. But they all evaporated. And how many millions of those things worked their way into the domestic ecosystems of college students, I have absolutely no idea. But we'd put 40 out and there'd be two there the next day. Anyway, so, what was I saying? That's what I was saying. And now I have nothing more to say, so let's go back to the jukebox, shall we? See what we got here, playing Hot Number at number C. Well, it's going to be C1 or C2, isn't it? Let's try the flip side. C2.
Midori no kaze mo sawayaka ni Niiru handoru
Haya ha, haya ha, ha ha ha, haya ha, ha ha ha.
How can you sing like Ken? It takes some skill to enunciate when you've got your entire voice in the back of your throat. Wow. Okay, well, why is the jukebox stocked completely with 1930s Japanese pop songs? Inquiring minds, wanting to know, etc. Why this jukebox is so stocked with 1930s Japanese pop songs that there's a lot of them. I mean, that's my point. All right, well, let's go to the back here. Maybe there can't be that many available to the guy who stocks the jukebox. Let's go back to W1 and see what we have. Oh, come on! Oh, and a gong! What a cliche. Ooh. All of a sudden, John Barry takes over. Hey. I kind of like this. This is kind of cool.
Hize Nagasaki Minato Machi Ijin Yashiki no Tasogare wa Naze ka Sagishii Kurisote Ninyo Koi no Ehinasa Kuru kuru to Chocho-san Chocho-san Sakura no hana ga saku koro ni o fune ga kaette kuru toyu hana no romanzu Nagasaki, 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 Minato machi Hareta kurusu no oka no ue Senobi shite kuru Haruka na umi yo Sanbon mashito wa Mada mienu Chocho-san Chocho-san Hana wa saite mo Hiraite mo
Well, I'm going to take that down because you might be expecting me to say something. And I don't know what to say. I have no idea what she's talking about. She could be reciting a recipe for tempura batter. And it's absolute incomprehensible to me. Something there about Jojo-san, kind of whether he's coming back or he's dead or he's, bringing lunch for the office. I can't say. But maybe I should bring it down because you just don't like it. That's possible, isn't it? It's something different, and so you don't like it. It's from another culture, so you don't like it. It's challenging, so you don't like it. Let me tell you, David Byrne's disappointed with you. I'm disappointed with you. Mm-hmm. Really, you should expose yourself constantly to things that you don't like. That way you can have something to say at a dinner party, which is, of course, the ultimate objective of assembling knowledge. Well, it's about 15 degrees cooler in the diner right now, and the reason is clear. Most of the people left. I guess they didn't like the 1930s Japanese pop music either. I did, mind you. I did. I'm very broad-minded and open about these things. I can't wait to discuss this at a dinner party somewhere and talk about the fascinating way in which Western tonalities were blended with traditional Japanese instruments. Can't wait. But everybody seems to have decamped. And the lack of all the bodies means that the ambient temperature has dropped about 15 degrees, so it's actually feeling quite nice. Quite nice. I'm going to go splash some cold water on my face then, and in the meantime, here are some words from a few of our sponsors.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice-a-roni. The flavor can't be beat. One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice-a-roni, the delicious break from potatoes. Now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
Want real smoking satisfaction? A cigarette that's alive with flavor? Here's a good idea.
Have a real smoke neighbor, alive, alive with flavor. That's Lexington, the toasted cigarette.
Toasted, 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 toasted.
Every man of action gets smoking satisfaction from the Lexington cigarette.
Smoke Lexington.
You can say that again. Lexington's alive with flavor. For after action satisfaction, smoke Lexington.
We'll be right back.
What this has taught me, perhaps, maybe a lot of being hot in the summer is just all psychological. It's all in your head. And on your skin and pain receptors and the rest of it, but mostly in your head. Inasmuch as if you think cool, you are cool. And if you want to marinate and immerse yourself in all sorts of hot thoughts, then yeah, you're going to be uncomfortable. But just listening to the cool, crisp, antiseptic sound of that Japanese pop music from the 1930s, frankly, it just made me feel an awful lot better. And even though it's filled up a little bit in here again, it's getting a little bit more close and a little bit warmer, I know that one more song is going to do the trick. So this will either clear everybody out, or it will make them feel as cool as I'm feeling now. So I'm just going to go at random here in the jukebox and go to M1.
That mean old sun shining down on me. Burning my eyeballs, I can't hardly see. I've been laying here for 6 hours trying to make up my mind. Willing to go to work or just to stop trying. Cause baby, it's hot. Don't you know I'm burning up? The bees are humming.
The summers are coming.
It's hot. My wife told me to go out and cut the grass. I thought I'd lay down a bit just to let the sun pass. I saw a little ant dragging a piece of bread as big as me. He was working so hard I started sweating, so I just put him out of his misery. Cause baby, it's hot. Don't you know I'm burning up? The neighbors are fighting.
The mosquitoes are biting.
And it's hot. I got a funny old lady. I just don't understand. She picked the strangest times to wanna hold my hand. Sweat pouring out my body. I'm as mad as I can be. Don't hold my hand, woman. Just get up. Away from me, cause baby is hot.
No. Got the blues. No! Oh, the blues will raise the temperature in any place 27 degrees. It's a proven scientific fact. The blues. The blues are opposed to air conditioning. The blues are the antithesis of air conditioning. The blues means everybody's packed into one room and sweating and jumping up and down and smoking and it's hot. Oh, I can't take... What? There's a thought. There's one thing the new owners haven't tried to do with the diner to make money. They haven't tried to turn it into a blues club yet. Well, I wonder if that's what's coming. I wonder if we're going to spend the last of the summer weeks in here sweltering while somebody picks away at the same chord progression for the rest of the summer. Oh, yeah, at least the food will be good. Well, thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner for Friday, June 27th, 2008. We'll see you down the road.
Water.